before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly like people look in life, and that's deliberate because they're not meant to. get, right? This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs, right? Look at your body right now, just as this. Young, old, pretty, ugly, fat, skinny, whatever. Look at your body, just as this. This is your soul. The soul is the form of the body, so it gives it shape and direction. Or this is your soul. Look at a rotting corpse. That's your soul on sin. And it's very, very important we understand this, because if we don't understand how awful sin really is, if we don't understand how final death really is, then we'll never be able to see how important this death is and how what it purchases for us is the life that was revealed that day on the mountain. Peter and James and John are brought up the mountain to pray to the Lord, and he reveals his glory in his body. His body, a real human body, just like mine and yours. A real human body. The guys that were with him had watched that body eat and drink, and then they had watched that body have to run off to the latrine and do a pee. They had smelled that body when it was sweaty and awful from the road, and they had smelled that body when he'd taken a bath and anointed himself with oil. They'd seen that body when it was healthy and well put together, and they'd seen that body when the skin was dry and dandruff was falling out of his hair. That body, just like your body, which looks the way you want it to, or more likely doesn't look the way you want it to, that's too big in some places and too small in others, it's too hairy in some places and not nearly enough in others. That same body that we're all so wildly insecure with, that's the mechanism, that's the instrument that he chooses to show the glory of God, to show us what it means for him to be God. He appears on the mountain with Moses and Elijah, and that's no accident. Moses, of course, who gave the law, and Elijah, the greatest of the prophets. They stand as witnesses, true witnesses and testimony to who Jesus is, but it's not that alone. It's Moses and Elijah on purpose. Why? Because of their bodies. Elijah didn't die a natural death. He was carried off of heaven in a fiery chariot. Moses died, was buried, but when they went back to build a shrine to him, stone was rolled away, his body was gone. A kind of preview of what would ultimately happen to the Blessed Virgin, the Assumption. A promise of what would happen to each of us on the day of our resurrection. You see, that's the trick here, is the Transfiguration isn't only telling us something important about Jesus, though it is absolutely doing that. It's making a promise to each one of us. The promise of his body. That which he revealed in his own body is on offer for each one of us. That which was manifested that day on the mountain in his body is possible for each one of us. The promise of his body in glory is brought to fulfillment in his body on the cross. It was through the cross that he made it possible for us to share in what he showed that day on the mountain of the Transfiguration. It's the reason he won't let Peter build the tents. He's not talking about going camping, right? That word tent means literally tabernacle, like tabernacle, because God dwells in the meeting tent of Israel. In the Gospel of St. John, we say the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That dwelt literally means, and the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us, dwelt in our company, sat in our midst. Jesus won't let Peter build the shrines to him, to Moses, and to Elijah, not because there would not ultimately be shrines to Jesus, to Moses, and Elijah. There are all over the world. But with Peter and James and John could not see that day, was that there would be shrines, tents, tabernacles erected to Peter, and to James, and to John, that they would come to share in the same glory the Lord manifested on the mountain. And that same promise, the promise of his body, is made to us today. Every time the church gathers for Eucharist, we gather again around the body of the Lord. And he makes himself present. He manifests his glory in a broken body, one that is prone to all the problems of every other body. People have gotten upset with me because of the communion thing. And you're welcome to be angry if you want to. But here's the thing. Here's the one argument that won't stand. Jesus wouldn't get us sick from Holy Communion. There's a word for this. I'm just not allowed to use it up here. That's a joke. It's not true for the same reason that it's not true that Jesus couldn't get the flu. Jesus could get the flu. Jesus were wandering around today, he probably grew up like this. Jesus' human body, just like your body and my body, was fallible, was penetrable, could get messed up like everybody else, could get sick and tired and sore and worried. And the way we know this, right, is because it got broke. It was broken in absolute. It's the reason he continues to manifest himself in things like bread and wine. If I were to just walk off and leave the Blessed Sacrament and the tabernacle for a year, I would come back to a holy mess. And you should not try and eat that. That will make you sick. It's not fully whole, I promise. Similarly, if I were to try and observe the precious blood for some reason for a really long time and let it sit out, it would turn to vinegar like any other wine would. And it will taste as nasty as vinegar. Because the accidents of bread and wine, the things that they look and taste and feel and smell like bread and wine, are the mechanism by which he chooses to make himself manifest to us. In the same way that his body stunk when he sweated, and when he went to a latrine. God saves us through the most human features of our lives. And he feeds us, literally feeds us, with that same body today. Not simply in the hopes of something someday far away, but so that today, you don't need a tent set up in your honor. You are the tent. You are the tabernacle, bearing God's presence back out into the world. You become the dwelling place of God when you receive Holy Communion. And you carry the grace of that sacrament, which changes and sustains you, back out to where you came from. You have a chance to be transfigured today. So a choice lies open before you, today and every day of your life. You can choose to be deformed, warped, twisted by sin, like I was on Wednesday. Or you can choose, as I do in my better moments, you can choose to be transformed, transfigured, changed from the inside out by God's grace, so that your own body would become a manifestation of his glory, so that you would make good on the promise he has made to you. The promise of his precious body.